In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Jeremiah, in his writing, is reflecting on the time when the Israelites escaped Egypt, and God isolated them from all the other nations, sent them out into the desert. He gave them the Ten Commandments, and those Ten Commandments were a physical sign of the covenant that God was now placing over them. But Israel lacked the resolve to keep that covenant. And God ended up leading them for 40 years through the wilderness, which is about the longest time you could possibly take to get from where they started to where they ended. I don't know if you've ever seen in your Bible a map of that wandering, but it's this zigzag path that just is crazy. And it's obvious that God knew it was going to take them a while without distractions to build community, for them to understand what it meant to be in relationship with each other as the people of God, because before that they really were just a group of people who were slaves of Pharaoh. They needed to learn how to be community. They also needed to learn how to be the people of God. And still they lacked the commitment to stay to that task. And so the prophet Jeremiah was writing in the passage that we heard this morning, about, he was writing during this really devastating time for Israel when they were defeated by outside armies, they were dispersed, and many were taken captive into Babylon, and the worship of Yahweh almost died out. It was very close. People had for so long been under the rule of Babylon and been away from their promised land that they had almost forgotten about the worship of their one God. And so Jeremiah tells them, hang in there, because there is a plan for a new relationship between God and you. There will be, the quote is, I will put my law within them and I will write it on their hearts. God is describing here that God would continue to be their God despite their defaulting on their part of the covenant. So covenant means it's a two-way agreement. And he knew that they had defaulted, but it didn't matter. God still wanted to be their God. He still wanted them to be there, to be his people. And his promise was that instead of writing the laws on tablets, he would write the laws, the measure of their living with God in their hearts. That the heartbeat of God would live within them. Jeremiah was foretelling what you and I now know is what the life and the ministry and the death and resurrection of Jesus was all about. In the same way that God offered Israel new life through their exodus from Egypt, he's offering new life to you and me through this life, death, and resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ. There's a very important shift that happens in this gospel reading over a very short piece of the reading that says some Greeks wanted to talk to Jesus, and it doesn't really explain who they were, where they were from. It doesn't say there was any conversation between Jesus and the Greeks, and it just makes you wonder, what on earth was that all about? And in the word in the Greek language that was used to explain these people, it actually means that they were non-Jewish Gentiles. And so what this meant was that there were foreigners outside of Israel and Judah who had heard about Jesus. They wanted to learn about Jesus. They wanted to be with him. They wanted to follow him. And so they had come and they wanted to talk to him. Jesus' answer was, now is my time. My hour has arrived. And so where for so many times when people had asked him, I remember at the wedding in Cana, Mary said, go turn that water into wine. And Jesus said, it's not my hour. It's not time yet. And he said that repeatedly through his ministry. It's not my time. It's not my hour. He did not want to reveal yet his full identity. He wasn't ready yet to make that proclamation. But with the arrival of these Greeks, it meant that the world was now aware of his ministry. They were aware of the actions and the teachings he was giving. And it was time for him to reveal who he was. It was time to reveal his full identity. It was time to complete the mission he had been sent to do. He knew it was his hour. It had arrived. He also knew that through his glorification, by fulfilling this job that God had sent him to do, that it was going to change the whole world. Because Jesus was no longer constrained to who he could walk to around the Sea of Galilee. It meant that we would be gifted with his Spirit that would be available to everybody in the world. And it's a chance to transform the world by the people who receive his Spirit to accept him living within us. And so Jesus tells the parable of the wheat seed to say that the result of his dying is that there would be much fruit. There'd be a vast community of believers. Well, you and I are an integral part of that faith community. We are a faith family. And I use that phrase all the time because I'm such a firm believer that we need to recognize that that's who we are. We're not just a group of people who like each other's company. That's true, but that's not all we are. We're not a bunch of people who love the cooking that happens for coffee hour. We do, but that's not why we're here. It's not even just about being people who enjoy Episcopal liturgy, although I don't know why the whole world doesn't, but you know, that's not fully what we're about. As a faith family, you and I are bonded together by our shared faith in Jesus Christ and by our commitment to each other that we will follow him and we will serve him. This interrelationship among God and Christ and you and me means that there is a new heart that we're being asked to allow to live in us. It's the new heart that Jeremiah quoted God as saying, that I'll take a heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh. That's the heart that you and I are being asked to share as a faith family and to learn how to live it out. It's not easy, and it is easy to get distracted or to get discouraged. But that's why we're community. So we're not relying on that to happen on our own. The point of this season of Lent is repentance. And that word repent means rethink. Rethink. And it means it's a time for us to identify distractions that we need to let go of in order to experience the full power of God living in our hearts in that kind of interrelated way, not just on our own, not a solitary Christian, but in an interrelated, interconnected way. That was one of the reasons that I enjoy giving out these pocket coins at the beginning of Lent, you know, for us to carry around with us something that says, "Behold the Lamb of God." It was Jesus giving himself as a sacrifice, as the Lamb of God, that allows you and me to carry the heart of God in us, to feel the heartbeat of God within us. I think that's something very unique to the Christian faith, that we understand that his Spirit is living in us and available to us. It's still up to us to decide how much we're going to allow the control to be placed with God. And I've found in my life, it's a daily commitment, not even weekly or monthly. It's a daily one. And Lent is a time for us to reflect on making that daily commitment to invite God into ourselves so that we can in turn be fully received by God with God's love imprinted in our hearts. And then we get to invite the people we know to join us in being led by the heartbeat of God. Let's pray. Loving God, as the season of Lent draws to a close, we see Jesus focus his sights on his passion in Jerusalem. We begin to understand how his sacrifice there brought a new created order, how it changed your relationship with the whole world. May our Lenten reflections and sense of undeserving gratitude help us in our resolve of faith in your Son. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen.